welcome to the Blindfold Chess Podcast. I have been a fan of Sam Shanklin for several years. I love that he plays the Carlcon. His books are good, but mostly I appreciate his blunt and brutal honesty when talking to people. Born in 1991, Sam started playing chess at the age of 6, but only really started to play in tournaments at the age of 11. When he was 17, he started making a splash nationally and internationally by winning the Pacific Coast Open, the California State Championship, and tying for first at the World Youth Under 18 Chess Championships, where he earned his international master title. In 2010, he won the U.S. Junior Championship in back-to-back Armageddon games, qualifying him for his first U.S. Chess Championship. The following year, he earned his Grandmaster title and participated in the World Cup. He advanced to the second round by having the largest upset of the tournament, defeating the 18th seed Peter Lecko, while Shanklin himself was seeded 111th. In his second Chess Olympiad event in 2014, he took home gold for his performance as a reserve player with a 9 out of 10 score and a performance rating of 28-29. He also defeated Grandmaster Judit Polgár in her last professional game before she retired. 2018 was a banner year for Shanklin. He not only qualified, but he also won the U.S. Chess Championships in St. Louis amongst a field that included 3 of the top 10 players in the world. In that tournament, he increased his rating to 2701, becoming the 7th American in history to break the 2700 rating barrier. The following year, at the Tata Steel Tournament, he drew world champion Magnus Carlsen and beat former world champion Vladimir Kramnik in Kramnik's final game before he retired. He also reached a peak rating of 2731 at number 21 in the world. In 2021, he won the Prague Masters Tournament with a performance rating over 2900, the highest the tournament has ever seen. A couple of fun facts about Shanklin. He has been an analyst for Magnus Carlsen in his World Championship preparation in 2014 against Anand and 2016 against Kadiakin. He was also featured on Fox's survival show, Kicking and Screaming. Sam is also a successful author. He has written 4 different books, but he doesn't do it for the money, and he doesn't do it for the education of others. In an interview with World Chess YouTube channel, he said, quote, "I don't really write books for other people. I write them because it forces me to train really well. Whenever I think of some idea of something I want to work on a lot, I think, well, if I force myself to write a book about it, maybe I'll work on it even better." End quote. That said, his newest 448-page book is called Theoretical Rook Endgames and is available on his website. In the span of 14 years, Shanklin went from playing in his first tournament at the age of 11 to winning the U.S. Chess Championship that featured 3 of the top 10 players in the world. In his career, he has participated in 11 U.S. Chess Championships in 13 years, been a 3-time medalist on 10 different U.S. Olympiad teams, and aided a world champion in their preparation. Sam is that iconic role model for hard work and determination when pursuing a goal. This week, we are going to the 2010 Philadelphia Open. Sam Shanklin versus Vladimir Romanenko. Now, if we're ready, let's begin.
1. Pawn to e4. Pawn to c5. 2. Knight f3. Pawn to d6. 3. Pawn to d4. Pawn c captures d4. 4. Knight captures d4. Knight f6. 5, knight c3. Pawn to a6.
What is the point of Black's move of pawn to a6? There are a couple reasons here. For one, Black is trying to gain space by playing pawn to a6 and then pawn to b5. But also a6 takes the b5 square away from White. The knight on c3, the knight on d4, and the bishop on f1 are all trying for the b5 square.
Six, bishop e3. Pawn to e5. 7, knight b3. Bishop e6. 8, queen d2. Queen c7. Nine, pawn to f4. Bishop e7. Ten, pawn to f5. Bishop c4. 11, queenside castle. Knight b to d7. 12, pawn to g4.
What piece or pieces are defending the pawn on g4? There is currently nothing defending the pawn on g4. This is a pawn sacrifice from White's perspective. If you were White, what do you think your idea is?
Knight captures g4. 13, rook g1. Knight captures e3. Fourteen, queen captures e3. Rook c8. Fifteen, rook captures g7. Pawn to h6. 16, king b1.
With all of the play on the queen side the last couple of moves, the move king to b1 feels a little abstract, but there are some solid ideas behind it. The first being taking the king and moving him into further protection on the b1 square, as well as to step out of the trick that Black had set up with his most recent move of pawn to h6. What was that? That would be the black bishop from e7 going to g5, skewering the queen on e3 and the king on c1. The only way out for White would be to give up the exchange of rook g7 captures g5. So playing king to b1 steps out of that threat.
Bishop g5. Seventeen, queen h3. Queen d8. 18, Bishop captures c4. Rook captures c4. Rook captures d6. Queen e7. Rook captures d7.
Black has two ways to recapture the rook on d7, one being the queen on e7, and one being the king that is on e8. What are the downsides of each of those captures? If Black were to play king captures d7, White can play queen to d3 check, forcing the black rook onto d4, and then white can win the exchange with knight captures d4. If black were to play queen captures d7, white can win the pinned piece by playing rook captures g5.
Queen captures d7. Rook captures g5. Rook c6. Rook g1. Rook d6. Knight d5. Queen a4. Queen c3. Black resigns.
Queen to c3 is such a powerful way to end the game. It's not a check, it's not a capture, but white is threatening to capture on e5, which forks both black rooks. White is also threatening to play queen to c8 check, which has several mating ideas involving the queen on c3 and the knight on d5. Here, Sam came away with the victory. I love the tenacity of Shanklin. I love how hard he works. I love how much he enjoys the game, and I love how much energy he brings over the board. I hope, for all of chess' sake, that we get more players like him in the future. So that is all that we have for this week. Tune in next time, where we will continue to work on our blindfold skills and look at another game of the Masters.